In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. May the words of my heart and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Of our two children, it was our daughter who taught her father the finer points, indeed the finest point, of hiking. An activity I enjoyed a lot with them in their younger years and that I still enjoy to this day. However, here's my confession. In those younger years, I was terribly goal-oriented. Consequently, if we were set to hike up a mountain, then the goal was to get to the top. Everything else for me was of little to no consequence, and our son and I had that in common. Not so, Leah. It was not that she didn't want to get to the mountain summit. It was that she also very much appreciated the sights and sounds along the way. She simply noticed things that I did not. But that is because she stopped. Rather often, I might add, she stopped to look and to listen, if you will, to behold. And so it was that I began learning to do this myself on one of our first hikes up Mount Washington in the White Mountains of New Hampshire. It happened about an hour into the hike on the Tuckerman Ravine Trail while ascending the mountain. Much to my consternation and her older brother's, she made a habit of unannounced momentary stops to look around while we kept looking ahead and wanting to walk straight ahead. And then it happened. I was following closely behind her in a steep ascent when all of a sudden and without any notice, she stopped, turned around with her left arm raised high, almost knocking me in the head and off balance, and she exclaimed, "Dad! Look! Just look! Wow!" And frankly, to catch my balance, I had to step back, turn around, and look. And, well, even though I had seen it over my shoulder as we forged forward, I hadn't really seen it. You know what I mean? To really see it, you had to stop completely, turn around, and behold. Just take it in. Let the sights and sounds and smells settle into you. It was breathtakingly beautiful. For all those weeks and months, the disciples of Jesus had been forging forward with him as he proclaimed the kingdom of God. By his words, his teaching, by his mighty works and great miracles, they had seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. But they had seen it, they had heard it over their shoulders, so to speak. They saw, but they didn't really see. They saw him, but didn't really see him. Not for who he is and what he came to do. They heard his words, but they didn't really hear, even and especially as he told them why he had come from heaven to earth. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. Oh, of course, Peter heard those words as they went whizzing by, and he was quick to jump on them without stopping for a second thought. "Master, that will never happen to you. a response, you remember, that was of the devil. Peter, you see. Peter wanted what finally we all want by nature. A Goldilocks kind of God. A God not too hot, not too cold, not too hard, not too soft, not too far away, and not too close, but a God just right, just the way we want him to be for us. But I'll tell you this, you will never have God on your own terms. Never. And so it was that 8 days later, Jesus hiked Peter, James, and John up a mountain so that he might stop and look and listen in prayer to his Father, and also that he might stop them, that they might really hear and see. What they saw and heard was out of this world. Their master's appearance changed his clothes, became dazzling white, and the glorious light of his divinity shone from his very being before them. And if that wasn't enough, it was soon that Jesus was talking, of all things talking, with long gone Moses and Elijah, those Old Testament kingpin representatives. Talking with him they were about, of all things, what he had come to do. His Exodus, what he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem, precisely what Peter didn't want to hear. Quick as he was always to open his mouth, Peter jumped in with a plan of action. The goal, oh, the goal, man, the goal of staying right there with Moses, Elijah, and Jesus on the mountain. But Peter was quickly shut down as a cloud came and enveloped them with a voice coming from that cloud. This is my son, my chosen one. Listen. Listen to him. Well, as quickly as all of this came together, it all disappeared. And Jesus was there alone. No more Moses and Elijah, just Jesus. It was Jesus that didn't want his followers to miss who he is and what he's all about, what he would do for them and for the world, what he would give to them. He had come, you see, to seek and to save the lost, the great physician, to heal those with otherwise incurable sickness, proclaiming good news to the poor, liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to those blind, to give his very life as a ransom for the sins of the world, yours as well. Like his disciples, we often see Jesus and hear Jesus over our shoulders as we forge forward. We think we have a bead on him, what he's about, but too often we don't. We don't get it. And so he stops us on the trail. All our activity and talking and thinking and distractions are put to an abrupt halt, and he turns us around so that we can see him, our Savior, no pomp and circumstance, but our God in human flesh, come to love us with the Father's love and save us from the incurable sickness of our sins, and that he does by taking that sickness into himself unto death, even death on a cross. Jesus always leads you there to his cross to stop and look and listen. Satan would have you focus on anything else than the bloody cross of Jesus for you. He would have you listen to anyone else's words than Jesus' words. Satan does not want you to see and to care about the reality of your sins. How sick and hopeless and dead you are without God's cure, His chosen one, chosen and given to you for you. It all comes down to Jesus. Life all comes down to Jesus. Moses and Elijah and all the scriptures point to Him. Our hope, our life, our salvation. All God's promises find their yes and amen and hallelujahs in Jesus. And so again, right here, Jesus stops us. All the other activity, all the other conversation and distractions and forging forward in our busy everyday life, He stops us and turns us around right here on this mountain. Lowly mountain it is, our Praise Lutheran Church. Not much in the world's valuing of things. No gold gilded edges. No soaring spires. And yet, upon this mountain, Christ Jesus turns our eyes, our ears, our hearts, that we might see and hear Him. Only Him. He is God's chosen one, sent from the Father for you, that in Him you may have life, life abundant, and life without end, and the unveiled glory of His presence. Just look and behold, Jesus says to you again right here on this mountain today, my body and blood given and shed for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. I want you to know this. As far as the east is from the west, says Jesus to you, as far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed your transgressions from you, so that God, my Father and yours, will remember your sins no more. And then He goes on, He says, by the way, something else. In my Father's house are many mansions. I'm going there, by the way, to prepare a place for you. Just look and listen and behold. Let it settle into you. Take it all in. Every week, the Spirit draws you right here to this mountain. And stops absolutely everything else in your life that you might behold the glory and splendor of your salvation in the face of God's chosen one, hidden as it is within the folds of earthy things like simple water, common bread and wine, and spoken words. But someday, soon, that same Spirit will draw you to another mountain. A mountain with unfathomable heights and breathtaking splendor. There to behold forevermore the very face of God's love for you. About that, one of the three up the mountain that day, John, says it this way, in his first letter, beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him because we shall see Him as He is. And I suspect
in one way or another, we will all say, wow.
In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.